Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Welcome to Transition Radio. This is your host, Ken Foster and Paula Shaw. And today we have an amazing show. We're talking about transitions in health and happiness and also transitions in politics with Senator Stephen Thane. So I'm going to get right into it today, Paula.
Feel free. Okay. Go for it, Ken. I'm here.
Let's do it. All righty. So let me introduce Senator Thane. Senator Stephen Thane is currently a Republican Idaho state senator. He's been in the legislature for 11 years. He was responsible for the Advanced Opportunities Program that provided educational opportunities for middle school and high school students. And he's the author of 10 books that outlines the principles of prosperity and programs that help people achieve it. I can tell you I've read most of those books, and they are filled with wisdom and understanding of how our political system should work, in my opinion, too. Senator Thane, welcome to our show.
It's great to be here, Ken and Paula.
Thank you. Especially
here in studio. I don't come down to San Diego very often.
What a blessing to have you in studio. And you know, him and I went to a book party, signing party the other night, mm-hmm. and Paula was there. And,
yeah.
you know, it was Shauna Allard with her new book, Knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, you know.
It was very fun.
It was great. They really were very appreciative that you were there.
Well, it was a joy to attend.
Yeah.
The reason we came down is because I have a son in the Navy. He just moved here. And he and his wife have a new baby boy. So that's our new grandson, and Grandma wanted to come and see him.
Boy, I'll bet, yeah, Grandma was, really attached to that little baby when we went to dinner the other night.
What is his name, your new grandson?
His name is Maxwell.
Ooh, that's a very powerful name. Maxwell Thane?
Maxwell Thomas Thane.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think he's got a political future.
I do, too. Yeah, I was thinking President Maxwell Thomas Thane has just arrived.
It definitely has arrived.
Yeah, maybe predictions. Well, listen, let's talk about how politics is evolving and transforming and changing in today's society. What do you see as what needs to happen here?
Well, I ran for office the first time about 14 years ago, and because I felt like some issues weren't being addressed. And since that time, I've come to realize that the way we're approaching the political system is a little off base. For thousands of years, we've had this win-lose approach to government, where one party or one faction, as Madison called it, gets their way and imposes their will on some other faction. But as Stephen Covey talks about, he talks about win-win solutions. And I thought, well, why can't we do that in politics? Mm-hmm. Why can't we find win-win solutions where everyone benefits? Now, it takes a lot more time, but I have a little caveat on a win-win solution. It has to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you apply these principles to education or healthcare,
mm-hmm.
right now, 89% of all medical spending is controlled by insurance companies or federal medical programs like Medicare or Medicaid. So that means only 11% of the funds, now people pay a lot of premiums, but are controlled by people.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons our system is out of whack, is because the people are not empowered with resources. So your previous talked about...
Well, you talk about empowering resources instead of empowering and people instead of empowering institutions.
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So when you look, you mentioned Ken about the Advanced Opportunities Program in Idaho.
Right.
And so what Idaho has done, and I was the author of that program, but Idaho allocates $4,125 to each student that they can use between their 7th and 12th grade to customize their own education.
Wow.
So they can take dual credit classes, AP tests, career technical certifications, CLEP tests. And what's happening is the students are getting engaged in their own education because they're saying, well, I want to do this. Oh, and there's no money out of pocket for me.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening?
That's powerful.
Our current system where we're empowering institutions with.
So can they use these funds like for tutoring or special classes to, I mean, maybe musical instruments or something?
Not for tutoring.
Okay.
It's limited for the 7th and 8th grade students can take high school classes like during the summer.
I see.
And then the high school students can take credit-bearing classes. So basically moving community colleges back in, you know, down into high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more for that right now.
That's really powerful. You know, I know healthcare is really passionate for you, right? So what are a couple important points that you know that's going to improve medical care in this country? What do you think we need to do with this?
That's a great question, Ken. A little background. You know, prior to the Affordable Care Act, we had a third-party payer system
where the people really weren't that engaged. They didn't control the money. Under the Affordable Care Act, it just doubled down on what was wrong before.
Right, right.
So it didn't really fix it. More institutions got empowered instead of people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five things, two I'll mention right now. The first is we need to focus on primary care and access to primary care. Before we focus on access to hospitals, because that primary care is where prevention takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals are money-generating institutions.
And when you say primary care, we're talking about seeing your local doctor. Is
right.
that right?
Okay. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's inexpensive things that you do in the primary care office, but you can do prevention. You can do diabetes management. You can check, you know, blood pressure and heart.
Right.
And try to keep people healthy. We have a lot of chronic illnesses in the United States, and they could be great. Those costs could greatly be reduced if we had ongoing access to primary care. Now, added to that, we need to change the way primary care is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in using insurance to pay for primary care, it might cost you $70 or $100 a visit. You can't afford that.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense to use insurance for primary care. A better approach would simply be to buy a membership to a primary care physician's office so that that medical provider has an ongoing source of income and there's really very little out of pocket for the patient.
I mean, I can see that. I can see a doctor having, let's say, charging $500 a year and he's got 1,000 patients, right? That's
right.
$500,000 to the doctor, right? And the patients get taken care of. I mean, there's different ways to do this, is what you're saying.
Yes, there's different ways. Small changes, because we have some of the best medical providers in the world in the United States. They're very caring people, but the structure of the system ties their hands. You've got pre-approvals on insurance companies, same with medications.
Yeah.
So if we make a couple of structural changes on the payment and the focus being on primary care rather than hospitals, the hospitals will be fine. You still need them. We'll see some real differences in our healthcare system.
Yeah, that's good.
I love those.
Well, you know, one of the things that you and I, when we first met, we were talking about adding life coaches to some of the healthcare plans. Can you speak about that a little bit, about where that is? Is that going to happen? What do you think's going on with that?
Well, when we first talked, Ken, a couple, 3 years ago, I was trying to put a bill together because Idaho didn't expand Medicaid like California did.
Right.
So we have about 78,000 people that aren't able to, they basically don't have any health insurance.
No health insurance.
No
78,000 people.
Yeah.
In Idaho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Might be a little less, but something like that.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to deal with that issue. And part of that was to provide some primary care to these folks, at least start the process. And then we tried weaving with that some health coaches because we all need advice and mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have really been nice if I would have had a mentor many years ago to tell me some things I didn't know.
Yeah, me too. I know about that. Yeah.
So, but that concept was a little bit too big for the legislators in Idaho to grasp both the primary care side and the mentorship side at the same time. So kind of retreated a little bit, and we're still working on the primary care access.
That's great. That's great. What needs to change in politics?
Well, that's a great question. I think one is the people's understanding of really what's going on. And so I'll explain to you from my point of view what I think is going on.
Okay, yeah. Because the people's point of view, what's going on is, I don't think
nobody
we really
knows.
Know. Nobody knows. They're just, everybody's baffled. Like, what the heck? Why is everything stuck?
So when I get done with a short explanation, you can tell me if it makes any sense.
Okay, got it.
So especially in Washington, D.C., because we hear all sorts of things coming out of there, discord and dysfunction, you have Republicans and Democrats. But really what you have is elites, the powerful in both parties, and the powerful do something very specific. They empower institutions. So Democrats empower certain institutions, environmental groups, education, you know, and Republicans empower other groups like corporations and military. And none of these groups are bad. It's just that they empower institutions. The solutions to our problems when it comes to poverty, healthcare, and education are in empowering the people so they get engaged. That's when costs will go down and outcomes will improve.
Wow. I love that.
I love that. Well, listen, we're out of time. I love the fact that you were here and you came in studio with us today. That's brilliant. Love to have you back. Would you come back on our show again?
Absolutely. I have something else to discuss in the future.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
keep
we'd love to find
make
the progress.
Those things happen that you were just talking about.
We'd love to hear your progress in Congress this year and see how things go. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. And coming up next is Dr. Jane Gwynn. She's a PhD, and we're going to be talking about how to include transitions in health and happiness into transitions in politics.
And improving relationships.
There we go. We'll be right back.
All right.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. You are here with Ken D. Foster and Paula Shaw. And we want to mention that Senator Thane has a couple books if you're just joining us. And you can get those books, actually has 10 books, if you can get those books at thanedoctrine.com, thanedoctrine.com, thanedoctrine.com. Senator Thane, thank you again for being on our show. And now we have our guest coming up, Dr. Jane Gwynn. Paula, you want to introduce her?
Yes. Dr. Jane helps couples create a happy ending in their relationship, even if it's been a rocky road for a while. She uses engaging conversation, targeted home assignments, and creative exercises to help those clients transform their lives. She's a UCLA-trained nurse and core energy coach and doctor of human sexuality. Dr. Jane, tell us, how did you get into this work?
Oh, thank you for having me here, Paula.
Oh, I'm just so delighted.
Thank you. It's so much fun to be here with you in beautiful La Jolla. You know, I get asked this question all the time because mm-hmm. I'm a I'm a woman of a certain age, and I have six children.
Are we all?
Yeah.
Six children, did you say? Oh, my.
Yes. My husband Jim and I have six children together. We've been married 33 years. But along the way, in this marriage that started as a very passionate relationship, in fact, we met in a hospital. I was a student nurse. He was the young, handsome intern. Along the way, I lost track of myself as a sexual person, and I really became super mom, so much a super mom that I wore one of those purple dresses with the floral print to match the clothes my kids were wearing. Yep.
Wow, that's super mom.
Right. Right.
I didn't go quite that far, but I know this plunge.
Yes. Right. It is a plunge into motherhood, which in many ways is very beautiful. It's that connection as a mother. But what happened with me is I really lost track of myself, and I became irritable as well.
Mm.
Because my life was imbalanced. I didn't have all of the pieces of my life activated at that time.
Right.
And, you know, our relationship became a little bit more disconnected, and my husband developed a connection that was warmer with a woman he met at work than what was going on between us. And he fortunately is an ethical guy. He didn't have what we would call a real affair, but the emotional connection he had to another woman was enough to wake me up and allow me to realize that I'd really lost a lot of what I cared so much about.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a part of you that felt like just disconnected, like your authentic being, your soul just went away at that point? What was going on there?
Yeah, that is, you said that so well, Ken. The thing is that I was really in this role of mom. And I had a lot of peers who were in the same role. So we ended up, you know, really just resonating in the mom energy space. And we were so tuned in and dialed into that channel. The rest of the channels of our lives were really completely muted.
You know, that's so beautiful, the way you put that. That's exactly, having been there and done that exact same thing. And it's really tricky. It's difficult because, you know, like I looked at my two children, they were small and helpless, and he was a grown man. So it was kind of like, where am I going to put my attention, with them or with him? And it just seems like the natural thing to do, to prioritize the children, but you forget that you were a part of a couple before the children came along. And I read this great line the other day, that the best gift you can give your children is a happily married mom and dad that are glad to be with each other.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, you can have one of your kids might be a fabulous piano player, world-class soccer player, but if that mom and dad are not connected as people, as lovers, you know, really, what are you giving your kids?
Well, let me, so when I think of sex problems, I think of the media. I think of the Hollywood hype, the perfect life, you know, everything is perfect. You get married, you have children, everything is rah-rah. I got a feeling this hurts people. Is that true?
You are so right. Yes, we've been lied to by Hollywood, the media, even our well-meaning families, to think that because sex is natural, and it is, it's a beautiful, natural part of a married couple's life, we think because that's true that we should put no effort into it, that we never have to think about it. And at the beginning, that's true. That new relationship energy that we start out with, it's all-consuming. When that stops, which it does for almost every couple because life is happening, we don't have any idea what to do.
And it's just one of the things I see all the time in my practice too is people just think they're too busy. It's like, where do I find time for that? It's the lowest thing on the priority list, and it shouldn't be, but people just don't make time for it. And one of the things I once read that I implemented in my own marriage, and it really made a huge difference, was schedule it. Schedule it in your day timer. Make time for it.
Exactly. That's why I wrote my book, which is an Amazon number one bestseller, called Too Busy to Get Busy.
Too busy to get busy. I'm sitting here holding this beautiful book. Yes. Nice.
Right. Because in truth, it isn't really the time problem when it gets right down to it. We say we're too busy, and, right. and yes, we are busy, but we make time for all sorts of things in our lives.
Good
yes?
point. Right.
Okay, on the cover of the book, Too Busy to Get Busy, it says, your bedroom blueprint. See inside for details. Well, since I got you in studio, I want to know the details.
Right. So what the book helps couples do is to go through a process, really a step-by-step proven process of discovering, you know, what's gone wrong? Where are the barriers? Hmm. And there are seven areas. And so when I work closely with people, what we do is deconstruct those barriers and then create a path and a plan to real connection. And it can be magical.
Mm. What do you think are the biggest barriers? I mean, what happens to couples? Why do they go from those two people who can't wait to spend every moment together to the people that can't find time right. to get busy?
Or can't stand each other.
Yeah.
Either way. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that's actually a good point, Ken, because when couples aren't being sexual together, oftentimes there's no other touch happening either. Mm-hmm. So there aren't hugs. There aren't those cozy little moments. Many couples cannot remember the last time they made love.
Oh, I know.
And they'll say to me things like, if I'd known it was the last time, I would have paid more attention.
Oh, wow.
That's really important.
You know, what I find with women is, women especially, they don't want to do the touch things, the snuggling or just touching, because they're afraid of getting his motor going, so
yep.
to speak, right?
Right?
And they don't really want the sex. So
yes.
they stay away altogether.
Yes.
And then the men say, you know, I'd love a hug once in a while,
yep.
or I'd love some touch.
Yes, right. That whole problem with the expectations. So you asked about where the biggest barriers are. The low-hanging fruit that I think everyone listening can think about in your life, if you're listening right now, one of the places I find low-hanging fruit is in the bedroom model. E is environment. So how is your personal space, your home, the environment you're in your home, how is that influencing your intimacy? So do you have a dog sleeping between you and your bed?
Mm-hmm. A TV on.
A TV mm-hmm. on. Are mm-hmm. you both on your computers, on your iPads? That's something simple that most couples can address right now.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times people get in those habits, though, and habits aren't so easy to break. So mm-hmm. what do you suggest if they're doing that? If they've got the TV on, they've got the computers in bed, they've got the, you know, kids running in, there's, you know, what do you suggest? How do you help them break those habits?
Number one thing is look at your life. So look at your whole life. This is not this isn't really a quick fix. Mm-hmm. When you think about like weight gain, it takes time to change that. And you're right, Ken. These right. habits are hard to break. So think about your whole life and what intimacy has meant to you over time. And then when you realize that something like your environment is really impacting your relationship, have a conversation and say, you know what, honey? I'd like to be closer. How about we try for at least a week? Let's just decide we're going to turn off the TV, stop using our devices for a week, see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're saying, why don't you have an affair with your husband or your wife? You're right?
I mean, I love that. Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Absolutely.
I just came to me. Have an affair
yes.
with your husband or wife.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Because we get so, you know, we're stuck. We're really, really stuck and we don't know what to do, but there are solutions. These problems are actually pretty simple to resolve. We think they're very complicated because we don't have information, we don't have conversation, and we don't have context.
That's the huge piece, I think. Time and time again when I'm working with couples, that's what I hear them say. When I say, well, have you guys talked about this? Or, you know, if she's complaining or he's complaining, whoever it is, have you told her that? And the answer is always no. They don't talk about it. People are afraid to talk about this topic.
Wow. Well, it makes perfect sense because it can be very hurtful. It can be very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So we'd rather go to a movie instead because nobody's going to get hurt at a movie.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Jane Gwynn, and she has a book out called
Too Busy to Get Busy.
And we will be talking more about that book and the details in there when we come back. So we will be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. We are talking with Dr. Jane Gwynn. And she has a brand new book out called Too Busy to Get Busy. If you would like to receive a copy of that, all you have to do is text your name and email to 541-444-0112. Again, 541-444-0112. Well, Doctor, it is so nice to be talking about sex on our show. And
my favorite topic, absolutely.
And I'd like to know, is there like a tip or a strategy or a way that people can become a little more intimate in their relationships that you might have for our guests?
Yes. You know, something that I love to encourage people to do is to create an intimate vocabulary, because It's common knowledge that one of the things to do, that, you know, one of the sexy things that couples can do is to talk dirty. So, talk dirty to me can be something people think of to spice it up. Unfortunately, when a shared vocabulary isn't in place, your ideas of what that might sound like can be very off-putting for your partner. Mm-hmm. So take the time, right, Paula? Take the time, maybe over coffee. It can be a really fun exercise.
Yeah.
Take the time to write down every word you have ever heard or thought of, all those words that come out of your young life and things you've read or seen or heard, and write them all down. And then in red, mark out the ones that are really negative for you, and then circle the green ones and see what kind of a vocabulary.
So are we looking for like loving, nurturing, empowering thoughts instead of slimy, dirty, whatever thoughts?
Well,
I don't have another vocabulary
sure.
for this.
It depends.
Paula, you can help me with this.
It depends.
I think what Dr. Jane is saying is there can be some so-called dirty words as long as you both like them.
Exactly.
And they turn you on.
Right.
Okay. Right?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So you're creating it. Your vocabulary, your shared intimate vocabulary might be completely and probably would be completely different from another couple's. Mm-hmm. And that's something you create together, and you can have that in your back pocket. It's just a special little thing that you can do for each other. Create this shared vocabulary, and then you know how to communicate in a way that's super sexy, fun, makes it lots friskier.
I love that idea, because one thing you don't want to have happen when you're trying to turn your partner on is creating the yuck factor, right?
Yes.
You say the wrong word and your partner's like,
this.
Yuck.
Yes, right. And there goes, you know, like 6 to 9 months of your relationship trying to get over that bad
That's
moment.
Right.
Really. I mean, I'm not kidding. It can really turn your partner off.
It is true.
Okay.
It's very true.
Maybe this is just a girl thing, but guys, pay attention to this too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had women quote something a man said to them, their husband, 16 years prior.
Absolutely.
That really either upset them or turned them off.
Yes, yes. And it can be very offensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't want to end up in therapy doing this exercise.
No. What you want to do is be very gentle together and really think through it and create something. For example, I had a woman, a client who, about her body parts, her private body parts, she created the word, the nethers.
Mm.
And so it can be very creative. So that was what she said to her husband. When he wanted to be intimate with her, she would say something to him about the nethers. And it worked really beautifully for them. So it doesn't have to be something that other people would consider vulgar. It's for you and you alone.
Yeah.
You know, this is a question I'm dying to ask you, Dr. Jane. Because one of the things that so often happens with couples is somebody makes an advance toward the partner and the partner rejects them because they're not in the mood.
Right.
And then what they say to me all the time is, well, I just stopped trying because I don't want to be rejected. What can couples do to overcome that?
Yeah, that is such an important question. That sense of reaching out, asking to be connected and that initiation, like a dance, really.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you feel like you're always being rejected? So let's circle back to that first thing we talked about, which is to look at your life and think about what's happened and start communicating and say that, like, you know what, I'm tired of being rejected. I'm feeling really hurt.
I love that. And how about some kind of a signal? You know, I've had couples do that. Like, tie a ribbon on the bedroom doorknob or something if you're in the mood.
Yes.
So
right.
You have a clue
right.
going in.
I'm afraid the guys would have a red one on there all day and night, right? Yeah.
Well, sometimes it goes the other way, though.
That's true. Yes. That's a good point.
That is true.
That is true. Yeah.
Right. I like that idea. So there, I use those little wooden people that you get at the art store.
Uh-huh. Oh,
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yes,
for modeling.
Yes, for modeling.
For sketching
for drawing,
and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, the parts move.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And those are really fun. You can get them all sorts of places. And then you can, you know, create them in a dance or, you know.
Yes, and have something. A signal.
Yes,
what
a
means
signal
tonight's
that,
the night.
Yes, or even just that you want to hug or touch. I mean, I think allowing for those types of contact, of loving contact, and saying, you know, this is not going to be a sexual contact, but I'd really like to kiss with you. I'd like to hug. I mean, think about all the hours we spent making out when we first met, right?
Right.
That's a good thing still.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like if we start kissing, then, you know, it has to be a real sexual connection, and that's not really true.
It's so true. And I think that that is a huge problem for a lot of people. And what I love that I'm hearing you saying is just speak about what you would like to have happen. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back because you don't want to go the full distance here. Speak about, let's just make out, or kissing sounds good right now,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really good. So, you know, what I get is sexual health is critical to overall health.
Mm.
So I'd like you to address that a little bit.
Yes, that is so true. Because we are physical beings, we're spiritual beings, we're emotional beings, and sexual connection involves all those things. So yes, it's completely important to our overall health. It decreases stress. And when we have conflict about sex, that actually increases the stress and the other conflicts in our relationship exponentially.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. And I have read that actually people with good sexual relationships live longer.
Mm-hmm.
They actually are physically healthier. Right?
Yes, right, right. That yes, for so many reasons. And if we're, you know, orgasm is a great stress releaser. There are, and touch actually increases our endorphins and makes us feel more alive and decreases other physical problems we might be having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, we had Dr. Mark Waldman on our show a while back where he was doing an exercise where it involved touch and, you know, basically to reduce stress. So what you're saying is just in conjunction with that. So many problems, it sounds, sexually are easy to solve if we acknowledge them and make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Where do people start?
Well, number one, again, look at your life. And I would love any of our listeners to contact me if they wanted to have a strategy session with me to just begin to think about what would it look like if this got better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could offer that to people who are listening.
And well, you also said that your book has actual exercises and processes in it that people can do even on their own.
That's right. When you read the book, and I hope you do, and please let me know, you know, how you liked it. I answer all my emails. I read them all personally. So the book will take you through this process that we've been discussing here today, and it has all the exercises included that you can do.
How do you get your partner to engage in the book with you? That's what I'd like to know. So a lot of times one partner will pick it up and the other one won't want to engage in that. Any ideas around that?
A lot of people ask me this as well. They'll say, I left the book on her bedside stand.
Right. There you go.
The old bedside stand tricks. Never worked.
I put it under her pillow, you know?
Yes, I just left it out there. Yes. Well, you know, we've got to be brave.
Yeah.
You got to say, you know, it's not working.
Yeah. Mm. And if, for that. People to get in touch with you again, I know they can get the free book, Too Busy to Get Busy. If you text your name and email to 541-444-0112 to have a strategy session with you. Should they go through this process or is there another way to get a hold of you?
Well, that would be a great way to start.
Okay.
They will have my email address there then in their email inbox, and then they're welcome. You are welcome. When you're listening to me talk now, please then respond and say, you know, I'd like to have a strategy session. So my email will be delivering the book.
Right.
And our listeners are welcome to then say, you know, I'd like to have a strategy session and we'll book it.
Right. Yeah. What's the question that nobody wants to ask you when they're in session with you, but that you know is there to ask? What is that question?
Okay. Well, I don't know if they want to ask this question, but this is the question they should be asking.
Good.
Mm-hmm. That is, if we don't fix this problem, what's going to happen?
Mm.
And some people just don't, they don't want to realize that this may be the end of their relationship. They may end up with a very bitter divorce. And sex may not be important to you right now, but if it's really important to your partner, it will impact you and your relationship. And you are, you know, many, many divorces come out of the same exact dynamic mm-hmm. of someone who is rejecting any kind of touch and another person who feels it's soul crushing, which are the words people use to describe a sexless yes. relationship.
Yes. And one of the things that I say all the time and I find to be true, if a couple has a good sexual relationship, we can overcome any other problems.
You are completely right.
If they don't, it almost doesn't matter what's happening in the marriage, how trivial it might be. Yep. It could be the thing that ends it.
Right. And the literature supports that as well, Paula. Mm-hmm. The psychological literature, the marriage and family therapy literature, it all supports that.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Jane Gwynn. Jane, thank you so much for being on the show.
So helpful.
It's so beautiful. Helpful.
Thank you.
It was
you.
So much fun.
Thank you, Dr.
Yeah,
Love
so
it.
Much fun. And again, if you'd like to get her free book, Too Busy to Get Busy, go text your name and your email to 541-444-0112.
And they can also buy it on Amazon.
And also
it's
on Amazon.
Amazon bestseller.
Yep.
I love the title, Too
Thanks.
Busy to Get Busy.
Yeah.
If you're
so
in
busy.
That place,
yeah,
check this out.
Millions of us are.
All righty. And we'll be right back with our final segment with our sponsor, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Groups, in just a moment.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life Transition Coach and Grief Recovery Specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. Coming up now is one of our favorite segments, our Smart Money segment, with our sponsor, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. Steve, we've been talking today about transitions in health and happiness. And, you know, one of the things that I was reading recently is that one of the things baby boomers fear most is losing their health and being able to afford that. And I would just love it if you could give some tips today about how can you set yourself up in a way that a loss of health wouldn't wipe you out? You know, what are some smart things people can do so they can be prepared for that?
You know what, the smartest thing or the best piece of advice is plan for the worst, hope for the best. And that comes from a person who 11 years ago went through colon cancer, woke up in a hospital, went through 6 months worth of chemo. And just a few months ago, I have a younger brother whom, you know, he's 49 years old and found out he has stage 4 melanoma cancer. Not to say it runs in the family or anything, but if you plan for something that might never happen, you're always ready for it like a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. And too many people like me, or like my brother at the time, didn't have plans for it, and I'm lucky enough to be able to survive. I was lucky enough to be in the financial field and be able to make some quick moves to make sure I was protected. But moving forward is, you know, what are the things that happen? People have been in car accidents. They get severely injured. They have cancer. We hear younger people every day getting things like Alzheimer's or dementia or things of that nature just because of the foods that they eat. So I'm not saying don't stop eating food, but I'm saying these things happen and life has its ifs and you know what? They happen. So how do you plan for them? One, it's very simple to get an inexpensive policy to cover things like cancer or disability. So for example, you can go to Aflac and Aflac will spend $50,000 or $100,000. You buy it. It might cost you a couple dollars a month out of your paycheck.
Wow. Okay?
Now, it's a couple dollars. Might be, hey, I can spend that couple dollars somewhere else. But you know what? For me, if I had that $50,000 policy, it would have been able to cover my medical expenses, my deductibles, my co-pays for 6 months. It would cover some of the home expenses that I had. It would have made life a lot easier. And it's only a few dollars here or there. Secondly, people really need to understand what's going to happen in their health plans because all too often they select the one that's least expensive because of their budget, but they don't realize, you know, like my brother, you know what, just to go to the doctors, geez, it's $500 to go to the oncologist. Now, with my health plan that I had, you know, when I went through cancer, hey, I saw the doctor for $35. Big difference. So it's important to take a look at the little things there because you know what? You never know when you need them. And you, when you need them, you want that insurance to be there. The problem is people don't ask enough questions, get enough clarity about what's going to occur, especially younger in life, because they're just looking at keeping the dollars and cents as, on the expense side as low as possible. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. So Steve, what are some of the questions people should be asking?
They should be asking... they should be taking a look at all their finances, and they should be taking a look at mom and dad's life. Everybody, hey, if there's a potential for cancer, if there's a potential for Alzheimer's, hey, you know, it's very inexpensive when you're younger to insure for that. If you're self-employed, it's very inexpensive to get a disability plan that will pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 a month if you're disabled. I mean, you can get them if you're a doctor and you can't do surgery anymore. You can get them if you do consulting and you're not able to consult anymore. But they're pennies on the dollar, and it's a wonderful thing to take a look at. More importantly, when it comes to these health plans, a lot of people love the Affordable Care Act, but they're finding out it's not as cheap as they thought it was because of the copays. I have one client that's 56 years old. She's really unable to go back to work. She's on disability, and she also, no, she doesn't have a disability, but she's unable to go back to work. Now, for her to go to the doctors, at minimum, it's $70 with her copay.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really afford to do that. But we were able to show her, hey, look, you know what? You can get this policy over here, and it's only $5 more, but every time you go to the doctors, it's going to cost you $35. Okay, just with the number of times she goes to the doctors on an annualized basis, that alone saved her more than $300 in the year. So things like that make a big difference. Understand and get clarity on if you go have a surgery, what comes out of your pocket? What's going to happen with the doctor visits? What's going to happen with the prescriptions? For example, Medicare. You know what? The prescriptions that are, that are covered under generics or formulas or brand name have changed. And you need to take a look at them on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
Policies do change. Most people don't pay attention to it. So it's good to sit down with somebody who's a specialist. And by all means, I'm not a specialist for Medicare, but you want to take a look at that because, you know what, if you're in some cases, if you have Medicare and you're going through chemotherapy, it's a copay. Other policies, you're paying 20%.
Oh.
That could get very expensive if you went through my chemotherapy, which was $500,000 over 6 months. That could have been $100,000 out of my pocket as opposed to a copay. Does that make sense?
Oh, that does make sense.
Those are the questions you want to ask, especially when it comes to health. Secondly, talk to your doctor if you're getting older in life and you have a concern for your spouse because they're starting to forget things. You want to understand, you know what, if properly managed with your doctor and that doctor writes a prescription, you can get 110 days in a assisted living rehabilitation center that you would normally have to pay out of pocket for, providing your doctor writes the right prescription.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's really
so smart. It's important to get that information. You know, my folks are 80. I know Paula's folks are in their 90s. And the reality is it's important to know those things now, because if you need help, you know where to go to get it, because it could be the insurance company or could be your own wallet. Which one you would prefer to have it be?
I like the insurance company choice.
Me too.
So, Steve, does every insurance company sell these kinds of policies that you're talking about? Because this is good news.
Well, you know what? You can always go to Aflac if you're still working. You can go to AARP. They are able to sell certain types of supplements if you're in your mid-50s and you're retired or above. If you look at HealthNet, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, all the different health care providers, whether they're Medicare or a regular health plan, you just want to look at the details of the plan. One of the reasons why they're $5 or $10 more expensive is because they provide more coverage. And you want to understand if that coverage is going to make a difference for you.
You know, that's an interesting point, Steve. I know in shopping insurance myself, there's just such a huge range of pricing on the policies. How does one know if they're getting the right price for the coverage?
Well, the first step is you obviously look at the copays if you're going to go see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the cost of prescriptions, because a lot of people don't realize when they get older in life and they're taking 5 or 6 prescriptions, it could be very, very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is you have to take a look at those life events and ask questions like, you know what? If I have to have a surgery to do a colon resection because I have colon cancer, that means they're taking out the tumor out of the colon. Okay. I wake up in a hospital. I'm there for 5 days. I have to see a doctor 6 or 7 times, and then I have chemotherapy. What does that mean to me financially? I would ask the representative. When I was helping people with health insurance, I was able to give them a pretty good idea of what the impact was depending upon the policy, what the copay was, what's the coinsurance, the maximum amount of pockets. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, once I hit that maximum amount of pocket, what do I pay after that? A lot of people think they don't have to pay anything, but the reality is they have to pay a copay to the doctor.
That makes a lot of sense.
And, you know what? People don't realize that. They still have to pay prescriptions. You have these things called a health savings account, which are a pretty good policy if you think about it, because once you pay the deductible, there's nothing else left to pay and the insurance company covers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
One of the other things that I most recently dealt with, I have a problem with my shoulder, and I asked the doctor for a referral to get an MRI. And you know what? It was an orthopedic guy. And the insurance company says, hey, we're going to decline this because we, you know, think you should have a whole bunch of therapy first. I was like, really? It was the first time in my life. So sometimes policies that are PPOs, you have to get approval before you can go get some sort of test that you might need. And you might have to be on the phone with the insurance company like I was, saying, hey, I really need it for this, this, and this.
Wow.
Okay, and sometimes they actually send you out that decline letter in hopes that you might, you know, I'm not going to say they're in hopes, but they want you to go through the less costly process first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if they, you know, the way I look at it is they're being a gatekeeper. Hey, it's a gatekeeper too expensive. If I need a specific test, I need to go call, but not everybody will go call or know to go and call.
That makes a lot of sense, Steve. Well, listen, man, that segment flew by here, so we're a little out of time here. So,
but how do they reach you, Steve, if they want to find out more or they want to learn about the Sexton Advisory Group?
We would love to be an education source for people. So they can call 1-800-562-2611. That's 1-800-562-2611. Or they can just go on the internet and go for information at sextonadvisorygroup.com. Again, that's information at sextonadvisorygroup.com. All they need to do is email questions and we'll respond.
That sounds great. Well, that was an amazing show, Paula.
It really was.
It was. So,
and thank you again for your segment, Steve.
And thank all of you for listening. And if you'd like to find out more about Transition Radio Show, please go to our website at transitionradioshow.com, or you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and many other podcasts. You can also listen to us on iHeartRadio and, of course, right here on KCBQ AM 1170 in San Diego on Monday evenings at 7 o'clock and across the country on all the AM-FM stations starting in Florida, in Tampa Bay, at I think we're at 6 a.m. So we hope you'll continue to join us, and thank you for listening.
See you next week.